In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, sin is disobedience to God's laws, and it is the greatest evil. It's an infinite offense against God and brings upon people terrible consequences and severe punishment. If a person in the state of mortal sin does not repent before death, he will suffer in hell forever. Since God's mercy is infinite, he offers sinners the grace to repent and have their sins forgiven in the sacrament of penance or confession. The priest, as God's representative, can forgive sins because God has given him the power to do so. When we go to confession, in addition to the forgiveness of our sins, we have the opportunity to receive spiritual advice and instruction from the priest. If without our fault we forget to confess a mortal sin, we may go to Holy Communion because we've made a good confession and the sin is forgiven, but we must tell the sin in confession if it again comes to mind. What happens if we knowingly conceal a mortal sin in confession? If we knowingly conceal a mortal sin in confession, the sins we confess are not forgiven. In addition, we commit a mortal sin of sacrilege. If we have done so, we must confess that we've made a bad confession, tell the sin we've concealed, mention the sacraments we have received since that time, and confess all the other mortal sins we've committed since our last good confession. The following example will clarify this. Let's suppose that John Doe has 4 mortal sins on his soul. So he goes to confession. He confesses 3 of his mortal sins, but because he's so embarrassed by one of them, he knowingly and willingly does not confess that mortal sin. John has made a bad confession. Thus, he leaves a confessional with no sins forgiven and an additional mortal sin of sacrilege. No matter how many times John goes to confession after this, no sin will ever be forgiven until he tells the one he deliberately left out. As long as he goes to confession without telling this sin, all his confessions will be bad. If he goes to Holy Communion in this state, he seriously offends God by receiving our Lord in the state of mortal sin. A sense of fear and shame of telling our sins to the priest should never lead us to conceal a mortal sin in confession. Remember that a priest is bound to never reveal anything that has been confessed to him, even at the cost of his life. This is called the seal of confession. St. John Nepomucene, a priest from Prague, was tortured and killed rather than reveal anything from a person's confession. In 1381, he was a confessor to the wife of King Wenceslaus of Bohemia. Wanting to know what sins his wife had confessed, the wicked king asked St. John Nepomucene what his wife had said in the confessional. "I can't tell you, Your Majesty," was the saint's quick reply. The enraged king threatened terrible things to the priest if he did not tell him. The saint said nothing. The evil king then had the heroic priest thrown into a dungeon and ordered that he be horribly tortured. It was all in vain, for the saint continued to say nothing. The wicked king then ordered that the hands and feet of the saint be tied and that he be drowned in the river. This heroic priest refused to break the seal of confession. He died as a martyr rather than reveal the sins he had heard. After we've confessed our sins, the priest gives us a penance to make atonement to God for them and to help us to avoid them in the future. We should recite our penance as soon as possible after confession so we don't forget it. While reciting the prayers given to us as a penance, we must move our lips, but can recite them very softly. It's permissible to recite our penance during Mass. If we went to confession before Mass and have not completed our penance, we can still go to Holy Communion. The purpose of the penance given can be explained in the following way. After a surgeon has finished an operation, the pains and effects of the wound still remain, and care must be taken for a complete cure. So too, after the priest's absolution has forgiven our sins, the wounds still remain and need healing. The penance given helps us to satisfy our sins and the temporal punishment we deserve for them. It also enables us to amend our life and persevere in God's grace. God requires temporal punishment for sin to satisfy his justice, to teach us the great evil of sin, and to warn us not to sin again. We must pay our debt of punishment for our sins either in this life or in purgatory or in hell. Since our life is filled with so much suffering already, our goal should be to avoid purgatory altogether so that we can go directly to heaven after death. The chief means that we have to satisfy our debt of punishment due to our sins in this life are prayer, the sacraments, devout assistance at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, indulgence prayers, fasting, almsgiving, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, the patient endurance of suffering, and the acceptance of all things as the will of God. There are also certain other factors that can reduce the temporal punishment for our sins, which are the degree of our sorrow for our sins, our personal disposition in cooperation with grace, and the firmness and strength of our resolution to avoid sin. Since God's mercy is infinite, he offers sinners the grace to repent at times, even at the hour of death, by means of perfect contrition. Perfect contrition exists when a person is sincerely sorry for his sins because he deeply loves God above all things whom he has offended. Perfect contrition must include the resolution of going to confession, if possible. This is natural, for the repudiation of sin means seeking God's pardon on his conditions, and confession is one of the conditions. When one commits a mortal sin, he should immediately try to make an act of perfect contrition with deep sorrow for offending God, who is all good and deserving of all our love. Further, he must not go to Holy Communion until he has gone to confession. Perfect contrition takes away all one's sins. Holy Scripture shows an act of perfect contrition in the person of the good thief, to whom our Lord replied, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." The following example will help us to understand the difference between perfect and imperfect contrition. With the savings he had scraped over the years, a woodsman purchased three little lambs. And in those pop-up books, it looks like they look like guinea pigs, but they were three lambs. Okay. These little animals meant much to him. One day, he told his three sons to take them to pasture, appointing a particular lamb to each boy for which he was responsible. If they did a good job, the father promised them some money. After a short period of time, the boys became bored and went off to play games. While they were gone, a pair of hungry wolves killed the lambs and ate them. On their return, the boys saw what had happened. The first boy, knowing that their father would be very angry, feared the punishment that would follow. The second boy said, "We well deserve it, but what bothers me the most is that we will not be paid like he said." The third son's heart was deeply grieved for his father's sake and said, "Our punishment and our loss we deserve, but our poor father, who is so good to us, how he will be distressed." Of the three, only one boy had perfect contrition. Which one was he? The third boy. The other two displayed imperfect contrition. Thus, contrition can be perfect or imperfect according to our motive of sorrow. If we're sorry because we've offended God, because sin has caused our Lord to suffer and die for them, we have perfect contrition. If, however, we're sorry for our sins simply because they've made us guilty and deserving of dreadful punishment, our contrition is imperfect. God, in his mercy and love, accepts both kinds of contrition. My dearly beloved in Christ, one notable point to remember when going to confession is the softness or loudness of your voice when in the confessional. Remember, there are people who sit in the very last pews, so please keep your voice down or whisper when you go to confession. Do not confess your sins in a normal or loud tone of voice. On the other hand, do not whisper so softly. that the priest can't hear you. So find a happy medium where the priest can hear your confession and no one else. I suggest you speak the type of whisper you would use in a library. You don't want the entire library to hear you, but you do want the person whom you're whispering to hear you. If you wear a hearing aid or have a hearing problem, let me know. In conclusion, in the gospel we read the story of 10 lepers whose bodies were horribly disfigured and came to Christ begging to be cured. With love and compassion, our Lord told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." They quickly departed, trusting in his divine power. On their way, they found that they were completely cured. 9 of them rushed home. Only one returned to Christ to show his gratitude for the healing. This pleased Jesus, but he was still hurt by the ingratitude of the others. Our Lord lamented, "Where were not 10 made clean, but where are the 9? Sadly, this is often the case with many who go to confession. The condition of our soul in sin is more hideous and horrendous than the body of a leper. If we were able to see a soul in a state of mortal sin, we would die from horror. Every time we make a good confession, our soul is cured and cleansed from sin. After such a cure and release from such a terrible state, we should say our penance and thank God for his infinite love and mercy. We must never have the attitude, 'It doesn't matter if I sin again, I can always go to confession.' We must never presume on the mercy of God. We might not have that chance because tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. God will not be mocked. I know some sad cases. Father Ephraim Cordova in Phoenix had just had a stroke, and then he had a funeral scheduled. So I had to fly to Phoenix and then perform the mass and then the burial. And then on the way to the cemetery, I got a call. Someone's in Panorama City Hospital. They're dying. They need a priest right away. And I had seen this person regularly, about every month. But I wanted to be there before he died. But then I couldn't change my flight. And then I came back to Burbank Airport. There was a traffic jam, and it was so late, I couldn't even give conditional absolution or extreme unction. And there's other times, I remember several times, people said, "Oh, this person needs a sacrament." I said, "Yeah, I'll go to help them." He goes, "Oh, no, let's just wait. We'll just wait till they're really, really sick." And then they're dying. And then twice I was called, and it was 2 hours each way. And then the person had already died before I got there. So there's no guarantee. And then we all need confession. You know, I went to confession a few days ago. Confession is very good for us. If you haven't gone, if you don't go at least every 15 days, there's a problem. You should go at least. That's what St. Alphonsus says. And I'll just close with a quick story. Martha was on the way to see her doctor. It was such a beautiful spring morning that she almost forgot the pain that had bothered her for so many weeks. The sky never seemed so blue, the air so refreshing, or the grass so green. Arrived at the doctor's office, Martha took the last vacant chair. Idly, she looked over the magazines on the table. Several times, she was tempted to invent some excuse to cancel her appointment. For the longer she waited, the less she liked to see the doctor. Probably it was something slight, and she would have made the trip for nothing. She decided to mention only general tiredness and an occasional headache. Finally, the nurse came to the door and invited her into the doctor's office. The doctor leaned back in his chair and looked at her. "Aren't you losing a little weight?" he said. "Only just a pound or two, nothing to bother about. I've just finished spring house cleaning, and I'm a bit tired, that's all." "Well," He remarked, pulling a prescription pad toward him, "If that's all, I'll give you something that will help you." A few months later, Martha was rushed to the hospital, but it was too late. The cancer, like a hidden enemy, had spread through her whole system. In 3 days, she was dead. Mortal sin is like cancer. In the beginning, the disease is hardly noticed. But if the cancer is not seen and rooted out of the body, it spreads and kills the body. Sin likewise may begin with the trifle, but the habit of sin is easily formed. It grows and spreads until it kills the life of the soul. In the same way, venial sin often develops into mortal sin. To prevent the habit of serious sin, your confession should be frequent and entire in order that the confessor may understand your state of spiritual health. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.